off. Let me say, Louisiana coffee is really good coffee. I used to drink that a long time ago. And, oh gosh, I'm drinking. I love coffee, period. And I drink coffee, you know, I'll drink a cup of coffee or a pot of coffee and lay down and go to sleep. It doesn't bother me one bit. Now, if I had been drinking coffee and I drank a glass of sweet tea or drink a soda of some variety, that'll keep me up from now on, and I'll have to go back and forth to the bathroom and all of that silly stuff. But coffee doesn't seem to bother me quite as bad as the other stuff does. As long as I stay with coffee, and then when I start mixing it, that's when things go crazy. But Louisiana's good coffee, and I do know about those coffee cups that look like they're cracked, but they're not. It's the glazing on the outside of the cups that does that, which is a good thing. That's a marvelous thing in itself. As far as your sister goes, I've got three sisters, and all three of them are still with us. I've got one that lives in over there in Taylor's, Greer area, and I've got one in Hendersonville and one in St. Louis, Missouri. And I tell my wife all the time, I said, you know, I would love it if they would just call me every once in a while and say, hey, I'm doing all okay. But instead, I have to do all the calling, and I guess it's because I'm the only brother that they've got left. There are five children in my family, me and my brother and my three sisters, of course, mom and dad. But the siblings, I had three sisters, still got three sisters. My brother's passed away. And but if I want to talk to my sisters, I'll be out in the yard or in the house doing something, and I say, you know, I've had them on my mind for a day or so, and I pick up the phone and call them and check on them, and that, you know, we have a good conversation. We normally sit on the phone for anywhere from 30 minutes to 3 hours, it depends on what we get to talking about. But I understand about your sister and the feelings there. I've got two older sisters and a younger sister.
Nothing like family. JK4, JBQ. And sometimes you think, of course, sometimes you think that you never want to see him again. You know, I'm done with you. And then you get over that. And, you know, when you have to give them up, that's when you get stuck with the feeling of loving them every minute. Well, that's a funny thing about being a human, isn't it? You want the thing that's furthest away from you. And death puts a great distance between you and your loved ones. Yeah, it does. So I think of those in my family that are gone, and not just about everybody. I've got two elderly aunts. Let's see, the oldest of those two is just turned 90. And the other one has to be, you know, a couple years younger. I don't really know her age, but we talked to the other one, and I celebrated 90 the day before her 90th birthday. I called her up to wish her a happy birthday tomorrow. And we talked and we talked for 6 hours. I didn't think she had it in her. I'm sure she thought I didn't have it in me. But we just talked and talked and had the greatest time. And, you know, as long as I live, I will remember the marathon phone call that we had on her 90th birthday. What do you think of that? KK4JBQ.
AOS and a Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Well, I think that's absolutely fantastic, Larry. I really do. The last time I called my sister that lives in St. Louis, we were on the phone for almost 3 hours. And, you know, you get caught up in trying to catch up. And that particular sister, one lives in St. Louis, she's got a son that lives in Charlotte. And I said, well, you know, I said, honey, when you can't come over, you know, to see your son, I said, if you'll give me a call, I said, I'll drive Charlotte, and we'll go out and we'll have, you know, supper or lunch or whatever, you know, and I'll just come see you a little bit. And she promised me that next time she would. But that was after, oh gosh, that was after their birthdays. And so I don't know when she'll be coming again, but she promised me next time she came that, you know, flew to Charlotte, she'd call me and say, I'll take the time to make the drive to Charlotte to see her. You know, I mean, talking to her is one thing, but seeing her face to face and giving her a hug and that sort of thing, that's altogether different. And I enjoyed my conversation with her, but ain't nothing like getting over there and seeing her smiley face and giving her a hug and all that.
Yeah, seeing her smiley face. That's every bit of it. Oh boy, yes, I know what you're saying. And I haven't actually seen her. Name is Pauline, but I don't think I've ever addressed her as Pauline. She has a daughter. Her firstborn child was a daughter, and she named that daughter Paula. And so that was so close to her given name that I never had any problem calling that particular aunt. Never had a problem calling her Buck, which was for some reason, maybe it's, you know, a childhood name, cute as a bug or something like that, you know, just a, but it stuck. And everybody in the family called her Buck. Well, so, but if I start talking like that on the net or, you know, to somebody that doesn't know my family, that just sounds weird, you know, so I'll just have to fill that in right now. My goodness, she's a little bit like me. She can talk and talk and talk and just pick up wherever you left off. Maybe it'll, you know, tag something on the end of what you said, or maybe just a whole new different thing, you know? And I think the language that we're given is one of the greatest gifts God ever gave us. Imagine having to sign everything. Of course, some people do. I did work for a time in a language class with children. Boy, that was a time, I'll tell you. I got in on it as someone found out that I played guitar, and I understood after that first day when I walked in, brought my guitar. The teacher, I was sort of like a teacher's aide for them, you know. And the teacher had me sit down in this big old truck tire that she had brought into the classroom. I did not understand what was going on, but I just crossed my legs, you know, and sat down like in a powwow, you know, sat down inside that big old truck tire, and the kids got all around me, and I started to play the guitar, and then I started to sing with that, and they all put their hands on me. All of those deaf children put their hands on me, and I never felt anything like that in my life. I had a chill run through me, and I realized right away what was going on. They could not hear me, so they were feeling the vibrations in my chest. I almost stopped what I was doing. Anyway, I don't know how I got off on that, but this is the way language is. If the words come freely, and of course they do with me, they come freely. I worked on language myself. I had an impediment when I was a child, and I couldn't speak well. And I really couldn't talk like I'm talking now. And I got over it because we had a sitter who... before I went to school. So I didn't know the alphabet, but she was going to see to it that I did understand the alphabet, that I could make the letter on we use a chalkboard, make the letter on the chalkboard and sound it out. So she slowed me down. My problem was, and probably a lot of problems start out this way, my brain went too fast. My mouth couldn't keep up with my brain. I couldn't push the words out. And so I stumbled over them. You know, it was a mess. So she got me to slow down and to look at the letter before I made it with, you know, to draw it. See, I like drawing. So I drew the letters. I knew my alphabet before I went to school. That was unlike any other child any other child in the first grade at that time. I know kids learn earlier today. But anyhow, that's more about me than you needed to know, isn't it? KK4JBQ.
It's always interesting to find out stuff like that. I can remember a long time ago that my mother told me this tale. I don't remember it in reality, but she said that she went to my first grade teacher parent conference and all of this, and the teachers told him I was a little slow, she said, "Well, I don't understand." And she said, "Well, he can read, but he reads real slow." And so got on to the second grade, and my second grade teacher, mother went to the conference with the teacher, and mother asked her, she said, well, do you think he's slow? If it is, we'll send him to a special school or whatnot. And she said, what do you mean slow? And she said, well, his first grade teacher said he reads slow, and she thought there might be something wrong. And she said, well, if you listen to him, he talks slow. So therefore, he reads slow. So he can remember, if he knows what he read, and that sort of thing. He has comprehension and all of this. So he's not slow. He's just taking his time. So I guess your brain worked too fast and mine worked too slow, Larry.
In any event, it seems that both of us, it wasn't at the speed that was optimal for our learning. I got along with reading after a while. I actually came to really appreciate it. I think it was in the fourth grade. We would, let me kind of tell it this way. Later in life, I would be involved in community theater, where you were given a part, or you selected a part. It depends on how those things came to you. And when you read the script, you would read all parts, this is how scripts are for everybody. One script, not one for one character, but everybody's character's in there. You might go through and highlight your part to help you find it back, again, if you lose your place. But anyhow, I really liked the reading, but when we came to reading out loud, that was another hurdle. It seems like, life when you're in the fourth grade, or at least it seems like that to me. I remember thinking that everything's hard. The next thing is just a little bit harder than the last thing was. Yeah, well, that's what we all do growing up. I don't know. At that age, you don't think that people are all that different than you. But the clear fact of life is that everybody's different in so many ways that the next person you come upon is going to be somebody like you've never met. And that one factor should make us think that since we're all unique and we all are special in some way or other, then that's how you ought to meet a new person. With anticipation, with appreciation for the difference. Just look for the things that you can appreciate. Different than you, different than other people you've met. If more people thought of others like that, we wouldn't have near the problems we do. A lot of folks will meet a new person and just, you know, categorize them, put them in a, you know, it's like putting books on the bookshelf up. You know, some people have bookshelves that go from the floor all the way to the ceiling, you know. But when you put in a new book into your bookshelf, you got to put it someplace, you know. And it's kind of like that with people. You figure out what the book is about. Maybe that's how you organize, by what they're about. Or they're, I've known people who had bookshelves. I didn't until later in life. Didn't have more than four or five books to my name at any one time. I was borrowing them all, you know. I never purchased a book until I was probably 40. Lending libraries, that how I got along. But some people will organize a book based on the color of the jacket. And didn't that kind of sound like some people categorize people by the color of, you know, of their face or something? It's kind of ridiculous when you think about it. And I wish more people thought about how ridiculous that is. We would all get along so much better. Well, I don't know. I probably crossed the line for some folks there. Don't matter, though. KK4JBQ.
What you say makes a whole lot of sense. It really does. Hang on just a minute. Let me check for other check-ins, and I'll get right back to you. We have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS.
Ken, and now Whiskey 4, India, Yankee, India, Robert, and Rock Hill.
TOS in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Like to say good evening to W4IYI, Mr. Robert up there in Rock Hill. Robert, hope you are doing well. Hadn't seen or heard from you in a while. Glad to hear you on the air again there, young man. And one of these days we'll get to see you again. Hope you are doing well. Appreciate you taking the time to be with us tonight. Back to you there, Larry, KK4JBQ in the Blue... back to you, Larry.
Well, it's nearly 10:30, so we have done it again. Oh, by the way, it is good, like you said, it is good to hear Robert on the air again. I don't recall that he and I have ever met. Maybe he'll pop back in here and correct me if I'm wrong. I don't remember that we have met, but like everybody. And you can, I'll bet I can't count, and I don't suspect that you can count how many people you have met because of this hobby, strictly because of this hobby. Oh, you've gone to an amateur event of some kind. Let's call it a field day, maybe even a amcation or something like that, or up in Dayton. Some people have been fortunate enough to do those big ones. But I like Hamfests. They're marvelous places to meet people. And you know why it's so? You can walk right as soon as you get out of your car. You know you're going to find friendly people. I've never been to a Hamfest and seen, you know, a fist fight. We're just not turned like that. I just think maybe Hamfest is where all the really nice people go. KK4JZQ.
There are a whole lot of nice folks in ham radio, and they're not just here, they're all over the world as far as that goes. Went to, where was the last one I went to? Oh, I went up to, road show's little get together. That's the Hendersonville Club, or a club up in Hendersonville. They get together, or they had one Saturday before last, or I think it was, or might have been, yeah, it must have been a couple of weeks ago. Anyway, went up there and got to meet some folks that I've talked to on the radio. Got to meet a lot that I've been knowing for years, and you know, we've met a long time ago, but I've got to see some new ones that I've been talking to for several years and never met. Hey, Larry, that's the main reason I go to the Ham Fest and the get-togethers, whether it's a field day or whatnot. But I love to go meet the folks that I haven't met before. And, well, as a matter of fact, I was out working on the front porch here at the house one day. And car pulled up in the driveway, and I said, "Who in the world is that?" And all of a sudden, the guy cut his engine off and got out. And I still didn't know who it was, and he looked up at me and spoke. And as soon as he spoke, I knew who it was. And that was old Richard, KC4PLT. He was in this area. And he said, "Well, you know," he said, "I'm in the area." He said, "I'm not far from his house." And he looked me up on QRZ and all that, got my address, and drove on over here from where he was. He wasn't but a couple miles away, if he was that far. And like I said, you know, that was a thrill for me. And so I've not only seen them at Hamfest and other get-togethers, they've come to the house. And it's amazing what this hobby will do for us.
Well, that right there, what you just said, is over the top. Many of us can recall the first time we maybe had a back turn at a Ham Fest or something like that. And we heard a voice that we hear on the radio, and we know right away much about them, as much as they allow it to be known. Some people are blabbermouths like me, and you know quite a bit. If you listen at all, you know quite a bit. But that's happened with me. I know it's happened with a lot of folks, and it is a thrilling thing. You don't have a face to put a name with. You know, you just don't have a lot of information. You can see them at a distance, and they're just as much a stranger as anything. But as soon as you hear them speak, what we all do, how we are represented, really, by the whole crowd of people that might be listening right now, is our voice. And it's a precious thing. And I know this as well as, unlike how other people, because I couldn't speak well when I was a child. I was in a family, and you know, this maybe it was part of your experience too, I don't know, but I was taught to be seen. And if you heard me, well, that was a rare thing. My mother and dad did not encourage conversation from children. Even to, you know, communicate something that might be important or relevant, you know. And that will be an impediment in and of itself if you're not encouraged to speak as a child. But both of my parents grew up with more than a dozen siblings in their first family. So somebody was yakking all the time. I cannot imagine what that's like. I grew up most of my young life with one brother. And my sister came along when I was 13. So there was never a lot of chatter. But can you imagine with, by the time the family was fully filled out, there were a dozen children. And gracious, I just can't imagine what that's like. it was humming, I suppose. The air was just full of speech, and mine wasn't. I think a large part of speech is mimicking. It's that in the natural world. Birds listen to mom and dad, and they mimic. And so maybe that, I never thought of that before. All of this time, it never occurred to me that our house was so quiet, and I didn't have others to mimic. Wow. That's pretty heavy. Anyway, Gary, we've been on the horn for quite a while here. We used to call the telephone a horn, you know. And I appreciate it. I certainly, most certainly do. And you have been, like my wife will say every once in a while, she knows I like hearing her say it, that you are a real gentleman. I like it to hear it because I know it's coming from her heart, and she's got it right. Thank you. Thank you for calling the net tonight, bringing us all together, and thank you for this little bit of your time. This is KK4JBQ. I'll turn you loose. 7-3.
DOS and a Blue Ridge 2-meter net for KK4JBQ. Mr. Larry over there in Greer. Well, one last thought before you run off, Larry. You were talking about voices and all of this. And you earlier you said that you were sitting in a car, Indian style, cross-legged, playing a guitar, and these deaf children were reaching over and touching you. Can you imagine what it's real it would be for them? To be able to hear speech. just the field of vibrations was a thrill. But to be able to do what we do, would be so much more, I've often, I'll say it again, I have been blessed time and time and time again and over and still am as far as that goes. Good health is pretty much, and other than a little heart attack, and according to some people, that was not little. But I'm here, and I feel great. And the doctor told me he didn't want to see me for a year, so I feel like I'm in pretty good shape as far as that goes. But I happen to think about those the deaf children that were listening to you sing. And wanted to feel the vibrations when we got to talking about the other, and that came to mind. What a thrill!
That was the first day. Something brand new for me. This was in Michigan, also. I had not been in that state before, so I was visiting. And before that visit was over, I had been in a sailboat, never had been in a sailboat before, and we hit some rough patch of water, and I'd never seen waves over my head. I got over the fear, that's fear, I don't swim. Now why am I in a boat? The irony of that is still just puts me down, I'm telling you. I was in a boat, a sailboat, and it got choppy, and we hit some big waves. I'm still here to tell you this because the guy was a good seaman. And he knew how to turn the boat so we could survive each one of those swells. That trip was actually many things really that I will remember to this day. They were unique, never never occurred again. You know, I haven't been on a sailboat since. Is that any wonder? I've never been in a classroom with deaf children again. Never had somebody come up to me and touch me and feel vibrations again. So just, if anybody is still listening, just remember, tomorrow there may come something into your life that you'll never see again, and you've never seen it before. This is a way to start a day excited about what might come. We all have a number of days, a certain number, we're told, and no more. So if tomorrow something's going to be in your path, look forward to it. And in that way, you will live some better day. It'll be better for some reason, because you were looking forward to it. Every day special truly is. Well, Gary, take care. And thank you for a very good night. This is KK4JBQ 73.
Tell Miss Donna we said hello. Hope y'all have a wonderful evening, what's left of it. Wonderful day tomorrow. Supposed to be pretty again, and we'll just wake up in the morning with a smile on our face and just saying thank you, Lord, for another day. You take care, and we'll talk to you a little bit later. 73, my friend. We have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS. Anyone for comments, or is there anyone else that would like to make a comment? Call KI4DOS. To wrap it up, I'm going to submit my net report here electronically, and then we'll finish closing the net out. Had a grand total of 55 tonight. Appreciate each and every one of you out there in radio land. Folks, y'all make the net. Y'all come back again tomorrow night, and Mr. Matt, WG4MC, will be calling, to the best of my knowledge. Give him a good dose of Rider's Trap. This is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. With our thanks for all those folks checked in with us. We will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless. This is KI4DOS, clear.
This, thank you for doing the net. I enjoyed it. Whiskey for India, Yankee India.
I enjoyed it myself. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Had a good time. But you take care up there in Rock Hill there, young man.
Yeah, I'm doing okay while I'm here. Doing a little bit of packing up. So you take care. Have a good night. And talk to you later. Whiskey for India, Yankee India.
73 there, young man. You take care, and we'll talk to you later. W4IYI, KI4DOS, clear.